She's our ace, our cleanup hitter, and our source for all things crew. She's Brewers reporter Sophia Minert.
Last year it was a shortened 60-game season, and then he got off to a really tough stretch this year. So this is part of player development.
Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited warranty on all new vehicles. Visit any of their 8 locations today, in-store or online at ewaldautomotive.com. Ewald Automotive, we make it easy. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Enter the Ultimate Baseball Fan Sweepstakes for your chance to win a Zoom call with a Milwaukee baseball alum. Enter at your local Century Food store by May 19th. No purchase necessary.
We love chatting with Sophia Minert about all things, but especially our brew crew. Tough loss last night, Sophia. I know it was a long night at the ballpark. How do you chalk this one up?
You chalk it up to Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, they had done, it's really that simple. I mean, they had done such a great job starting with Freddie Peralta of not allowing Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado to beat you. They had been over up until the 11th inning. And then Goldschmidt comes up, he hits the two-run shot, and then, you know, the dagger was Tyler O'Neill coming up with the three-run homer after that. But you know, it's like the deeper you get into a game and you've still held Goldschmidt and Arenado to nothing, you know that they're just such incredibly talented hitters. It's hard to keep them at an over. Boxberger, unfortunately, just didn't have his best stuff. So that's ultimately what happened in the 11th.
Sophia, do you have a Christian Yelich update?
I do, and it's better news than what we had on the last
Whoa.
Road trip.
Whoa! I feel like we need a yes. little bit of a build up to this. Does she have an update, but it's better news than we expected.
It's better news. Yes. The better news is that he's back on the field doing all the things. And yesterday we saw him hitting on the field, which he doesn't typically do that. Just normally he likes to do all of his hitting in the cage. He just gets more use and more production out of that. But he was on the field yesterday doing everything. He took full BP. He did some running, catch, all of that. So he's continuing to make really good progress. When I talked to him yesterday, he said he's feeling a lot better than even what he did a week ago when it was just one game in Philadelphia and then back on the IL. So I think they're trending in the right direction. Because he had a full day yesterday, I imagine you'll see him do that for a couple of days before they come up with a plan for him to likely do a minor league rehab assignment. Because now you're talking about essentially a month, right, where he hasn't played in games with that back strain. So I imagine he'll need a minor league rehab assignment. And then hopefully you think he can put this behind him. It's obviously something he'll have to manage the rest of the season. But it's good to at least see him on the field, you know, with full activity.
Sophia, what's going to be the plan for first base? Because Christian Yelich coming back certainly going to help boost the offense, but what they've gotten out of first base, I know that they still have faith in Keston Hira, but there's got to be a plan to get better at that position. I mean, it's been rough ever since Prince Fielder left for the Brewers at first base, but do they have a plan to try to somehow get more production offensively out of that position?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one, right? Because you know you have your solution with Keston Hira, and unfortunately he's in AAA, and he's just getting started there. He was supposed to be in the lineup last night, and honestly, with the game last night, I haven't had a chance to look at the box score and see what he did. But, he's starting his minor league assignment there. They're very confident he can get things figured out and get right. So, you know that's ultimately your solution if you can get Keston back to being Keston. And then in the interim, you know, Daniel Vogelbach just hasn't gotten going yet. You know, I think the defense has been there. The bat hasn't been as consistent. You know, he's had some power at times, and I think he brings really good discipline to the plate. Like, he'll give you a quality at bat, but just the production hasn't been there. Billy McKinney could be an option there, you know, as you start to get healthier with Christian back. Travis Shaw has been over there with double switches. So I think, you know, they have options. Just unfortunately, the production hasn't been there. and you kind of hope you can get enough, or you can try some different options until you can get Keston back, because I think they do feel that that's ultimately their solution.
Sophia Minert joining the show as she does each and every Wednesday in the 8 o'clock hour. Sophia, I saw Corbin Burns back. That is also good news. But what it made me think of, and I know that it hasn't been officially announced, but that he likely tested positive for COVID-19. And then I see the story that the Yankees managers, coaches tested positive for COVID-19 after they were vaccinated. Have there been any conversations amongst the Brewers or baseball about what is happening with the vaccines and COVID, and do we need to kind of clamp down on protocols again?
I have not heard that conversation yet. And you know, the Brewers actually reached their 85% threshold with vaccinations among players and staff on the road trip. You know, so in Philadelphia, the players and staff were able to start going without masks in the dugout, which was a big deal for them, right? I think it's just like another step towards normalcy. So that was an accomplishment in itself for them to get to 85%. I have not heard of them going back to the protocols, because they, with the 85%, you're actually able to loosen up some of those things, like the masks in the dugout. They're still supposed to wear masks indoors when they're around others. They can go out to restaurants now. They can get out of the hotel a little bit more now. Families can come on the road, et cetera. So everyone was really looking forward to that. So it would be a huge bummer if you had to now scale it back and go back to these increased protocols. But you mentioned the Yankees, and then I was reading late last night, the Padres are dealing with a similar situation where Fernando Tatis Jr. tested positive. Will Myers had to leave the game because he tested positive. And then they have three additional position players who are now in their contact tracing. So they're down five position players. So I don't know. That's going to be an interesting one with how Major League Baseball handles that one. If they just get the exemption of, you know, those players aren't going to count against them and they can make additional roster moves. But in terms of the Brewers, I have not heard anything about any changes.
All right, Sophia, stupid question for you here.
Those are the best kind of questions.
Yes. Why do most trades happen around the trade deadline and not now, where after 36 games, they should kind of know where their deficiencies are, wouldn't you? Why don't they make a trade now?
That is a good question. I would say that some of that has changed. I mean, they traded Orlando Arcia, like, essentially in the first week of the season. And they did that at the time because they thought they were trading from a position of depth. They liked what they had in Luis Urias, and they were trying to add to their pitching depth. But, I mean, you're right. I think traditionally you've seen the majority of the activity around the trade deadline and in the off season. And I think, like, probably most GMs would tell you that even though it is 36 games and you do have a better feel of what your team has at this point, it is still so early. You know, I think baseball in general, you just don't make any rash decisions. And we talk about sample sizes all the time, right? Like, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is in April, the answer will always be, yeah, but it's April, you know? And then even at this part of the season, mid-May, there is still so much ahead of you. I just think in baseball, you tend to have the long view versus anything reactionary. And again, I think this year it's a little different because the minor league season also just started last week. And now you're finally getting players back into competition. And I think that's been a really big issue across the industry, is how do you evaluate prospects and young players and, like, even these fringe AAA, you know, big league guys, how do you evaluate them without any actual competition? You're evaluating essentially live BPs and bullpens at alternate training sites, which is not ideal. So I think now they'll have better evaluation tools to help them make those kinds of decisions.
Sophia, I know when we've talked on our show with players in the past, they were really excited about just having fans in the stands. I'm guessing that's going to continue as this weekend AmFam Field is going to be boosted to 50% capacity.
Yeah, I think it's big time. And I thought Brandon Woodruff had the best reaction. We spoke to him yesterday. He's starting tonight for game two. And he had not heard the news yet. It was pretty recent. And we told him, you know, hey, it's going to go up to 50%. And his first reaction was like, oh, wow. And he immediately said, you know, with the roof closed, and he said this is a credit to the fans of how they've been over the first month. 25% felt like a lot more than what I think we all thought it would feel like. Fans have been loud. They've brought energy. I think it's been a really good fan experience. It feels normal-ish. And I do think that with the roof closed and even if the panels are closed, like it does feel a little closed in. It gets loud. There's real energy there, you know? And so I think he said that is such a good sign because he said 25% already felt like it was half full, if not close to that, with just how great the fans have been. So now that you're getting 50%, right, you're getting tailgating has been back for a couple of weeks now. I think it's just, it's a huge step. And I think we hear from fans all the time how frustrated they've been that they haven't been able to get tickets yet. So I think it gives people, you know, more opportunities to get in for a game if they haven't been able to yet. And, you know, I think it feels good. You know, I think you hear news like this that it feels good of like we're going in the right direction.
Lastly, Sophia, and probably the most important thing that we're going to discuss here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with you this morning, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are back together.
Ooh,
this feels feels like a very, very big deal. Where do you stand on the Bennifer reunion?
I feel like, I guess this was, 15 years ago that they were together,
yeah,
right?
2002!
Yeah, that's like 19 years ago.
I was 8.
My math, woof. But, I mean, I feel like, are we going back in time? Like, do we need to get out our, like, you know, 90s velour jumpsuits?
And juicy
like,
couture,
kind of crazy, yeah. I'm like, but, you know, good on them. I kind of thought, like, if J-Lo and A-Rod weren't going to make it work, I didn't know, like, where you pivot from that if you're J-Lo. But, hey, Ben Affleck, I mean, I'd like to, like, you know, fail up to Ben Affleck. Like, that's amazing.
You don't have to name names, but are there any exes in your past that you would get back together with?
No.
I think she dropped a dish before she said no, too. She was like, absolutely not. 0% on a scale of 0 to 100. Sophia, thanks for joining us this morning. Great to chat with you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Have a great morning.
It is like 2002 all over again. It's definitely the 2000s. Tim Tebow's playing football again. Bennifer's back together. I'm wearing neon. That was...
Just don't get her flowers.
The 80s.